Well, it's 7 p.m. Do I hear a motion to begin the meeting?
I make a motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Maupin. Do I hear a second?
I second.
Thank you, Commissioner Resendez. First thing on the agenda is the Pledge of Allegiance, and then we'll have a moment of silence. Let me get up here.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First thing other than what was, since there's no citizens here tonight, we will move on to the January 20th, 2026 city meeting minutes. Is there any corrections or anything else that needs to be added to it? If not, do I hear a motion to approve the minutes that were posted?
To approve the minutes.
You approve the minutes?
I make a motion.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Beville. I hear a second.
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. City financial reports for January 2026. Any corrections or any issues that anybody found with them? If not, do I hear a motion to approve the financial reports for January 2026?
I'll make a motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Maupin. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? All right, the invoice and receipt reimbursement, the expense went by. Next thing on is the state of the city address by Mayor Stoneham. This is for this coming fiscal year of 2027. State of the city in the fiscal year 2027 city budget message. The city's commissioners' primary budget objective is to generate significant revenue to pay expenses during fiscal year 2027. Cost of goods and services continue to rise during 2025, and they'll continue to rise daily for various reasons, all of which are beyond our control. As such, our City Commission will need to be making appropriate fiscal decisions while properly preparing our required annual ad valorem tax and budget ordinances. The Jefferson County PVA office will be providing the City of Worthington Hills with our property assessment values for 2026 in late April. Once a report are received, the City of Worthington Hills City Commission will be finalizing our city's 2026 ad valorem tax ordinance, which will comply with the requirements set forth in KRS 132.027. The most important fiscal year 2027 budget worksheet line items continue to be security, waste collection, property maintenance, and road maintenance. Our City Commission should develop and approve a budget designed to cover these ordained expenses without using our city's reserve revenues or reserve funds. In conclusion, the City Commission needs to continue the practice of being fiscally responsible. Both the City Commission and our city residents need to understand our primary revenue resources are limited to our property tax and our insurance premium tax collections. Losing any portion of either one of these revenue sources for any reason would quickly deplete our reserve funds, which is also known as our rainy day fund. Our reserve funds should only be used for natural or man-made disasters and or pandemics, since they are unpredictable and devastating to the city's revenue stream. Being financially prepared for the worst case scenario is always the best and correct path to take and follow. Respectfully submitted, Mayor Robert Stoneham, February 17, 2026. If I had any pen, I could find it. That's why I carry three.
Will we discuss the budget or any tax increase if we get the bills in? I want to make sure. The office, the PVA office. Are you talking about the bills that they send out to us, or
we get assessment? We get an assessment. We get a worksheet assessment.
Okay, that's what I'm asking.
Right. We get a worksheet assessment around the 23rd, 24th, 25th of April.
Which you'll share with us.
I'll share with you all. And at that time, we will have already done the first read on a proposed tax ordinance, okay, so that we can do the tax ordinance in May, because we have to have the tax ordinance done in May. But the worksheet, which I'm going to hand out here in a little while, okay, is all based off of projections, okay? All right? So we'll go over that here in a minute.
Okay. I was looking at the tax line in which we would receive the
information. Right. It's usually the mayor has to do the state of the city address either in February or March. And then we also, at the same time, since I've been mayor, I've been doing a proposed budget to give you all, which I have the paper here today, and I will send you a spreadsheet file, so that you have that also. That'll all be explained here in a minute. Okay? The next thing on the agenda is ordinance number one. We had the first read on it last month, and now we have the second read. And here, I probably got more than enough there. Here's ours for Diane. Make sure there was no mistakes around. Okay. There's one side of the summary. The full side is the full ordinance. Okay. We'll go to the full ordinance because that's what I've got to read. Ordinance number one, series 2026, City of Worthington Hills, Kentucky, an ordinance amending ordinance number six, series 2023, providing for commissioner's compensation. Be it ordained by the City of Worthington Hills that ordinance number six, series 2023, section one, which reads as follows. Section one, the commission shall be paid the sum of line through $400 each month during the term of their office, shall be amended to read as follows. Section 1. The commissioners shall be paid the sum of $500 each month during the term of their office. This ordinance shall become effective January 1, 2027 upon passage, approval, properly signed and published as required by law. Passed and approved this 17th day of February 2026 at a regular scheduled meeting of the legislative body of the City of Worthington Hills pursuant to Kentucky statute law. Any questions? If not, do I hear a motion to approve this ordinance?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Thank you, Commissioner McCaffrey. Here, second.
I second.
Thank you, Commissioner Resendez. We'll have a roll call vote. Commissioner Babil?
Yes.
Yes.
Commissioner Maupin?
Yes.
Commissioner McCaff?
Yes.
Commissioner Resendez?
Yes.
And Mayor Stoneham says yes. Okay. Now, the summary just on the back is for other purposes. Ordinance number 1, Series 2026, the City of Worthington Hills. Certified summary ordinance number 6, Series 2023 of the City of Worthington Hills, increasing the City Commission compensation. Be it ordained by the City of Worthington Hills that the City Commission's compensation be increased from $400 to $500 per month effective January 1, 2027. Passed and approved the 17th day of February 2026 at a regular scheduled meeting of the legislative body of the City of Worthington Hills pursuant to Kentucky statute law, statutory law. So that is, that's what's required. Used to be required to be in the paper, but since they changed the statute, we can now post it on the website and just indicate so in the paper. So that's what that's for on the back.
Hello.
Hello. City of Worthington Hall?
Yes.
Worthington Hills?
Good morning.
All right. Just pull up a chair.
Any chair you'd like.
All right.
Is there a sign-in sheet?
No, it must be at home. Sorry.
Let me sign yours. Sign yours, your copy. Okay, now that we have a guest, I guess we'll introduce ourselves. I'm Mayor Stoneham.
I'm the Commissioner Brazil.
I'm Utility Commissioner Susan Walker.
Okay, you got your copy, right?
Sam Small.
And what's your name?
Oh, Rashad King, resident 12003 Rustburg.
Excuse me,
Dan.
Okay, nice to meet you all.
I'm Robert Dwight, County Council
for
the city.
Okay.
I'm Bev Lash, the city clerk.
All right. Well, nice to meet everyone. I'm sorry I had to intrude. I just heard about the town meeting today. I wanted to see what they're all about.
Okay. Well, that's fine.
Sure.
I just wanted to thank you for coming, and if you have any comments, I'll after we get towards the end, since you've sat here towards the whole meeting, then we will ask if you have any questions, because I remember when I sat in the city meeting, I had a lot of questions when it was all over and done with and never got them answered.
Okay.
All right. There's a basic agenda back there on the desk.
I get my copy.
Oh. Did you get your copy? I thought I gave you your copy.
No, Seth needed to sign my copy. From here, I need to sign this one. I can take this one.
Okay. I need one signed. We're signing ordinances. That's what we're up here doing. Okay.
All right.
Next thing on the agenda We're still in legal contracts. This is a precautionary measure that we do each year. I've explained this in the past, but I'll explain it again. The insurance premium tax is collected for the benefit of the city. If our insurance premium tax is below county tax, insurance premium county tax, then they would get the difference. And when we the first year that I was mayor, the city of Louisville was talking about raising theirs to 10%. And I didn't know any better, and luckily it didn't pass. So since then, I've been doing this preliminary first read so that we could have it ready for March, because the insurance premium tax ordinance has to be passed and in place, or passed within 100 days prior to the 1st of July, which ends up being around the 23rd or 24th of March. And our next meeting is the 17th of March. So this is just the first read. It's just a preliminary thing. It's an ordinance just for that. Don't mix these up, because on the back of it is another part of it that we're going to do later in the new business. So
I don't know if I can stand this pressure.
Oh, wait. Anyhow, this is, again, like I said, it's preliminary, and we will
Something's on the back.
There's something on the back. Okay. All right. Ordinance number to be determined, TBA, whatever it is. Series 2026, City of Worthington Hills, Kentucky. An ordinance amending ordinance number 1, Series 2023, increasing the life insurance policy premium and non-life insurance policy premium license fees from 8% to 10%. Again, that is a projection that based off of what was going on in 2019. Whereas increased revenues are needed by the city to meet its fiscal obligations. Be it ordained by the City of Worthington Hills that Ordinance Number 1, Series 2023, Sections 2 and 3, which read, Section 2, the license fee imposed upon each insurance company which issues life insurance policies on the lives of persons residing within corporate limits of the City of Worthington Hills shall be, line through 8, of the first year's premiums actually collected within each calendar quarter by reason of the issuance of such policies. Section 3, the license fee imposed upon each insurance company which issues any insurance policy which is not a life insurance policy shall be, line through 8%, of the premiums actually collected within each calendar quarter by reason of the issuance of policies on risks located within the corporate limits of the City of Worthington Hills, on those classes of policies which such company is authorized to transact, lest all premiums returned to policyholders, shall be amended to read. Section number 2, the license fee imposed upon each insurance company which issues life insurance policies on the lives of persons residing within the corporate limits of the City of Worthington Hills shall be 10% of the first year of premiums actually collected within each calendar quarter by reason of the issuance of such policy. Section number 3, the license fee imposed upon each insurance company which issues any insurance policy which is not a life insurance policy shall be 10% of the premiums actually collected within each calendar quarter by reason of the issuance of policies of risk located within the corporate limits of the City of Worthington Hills on those classes of policies which such company is authorized to transact, lest all premium returned to policyholders. The ordinance shall be effective July 1st, 2026, upon passage and approval, publication as required by law, passed and approved during the March 17, 2026 city meeting of the city commission pursuant to law. Again, that's just a preliminary precautionary arrangement that we do each year because I don't want to have to call a special meeting for a five-minute read of the ordinance. Now we've got some stuff that has to do with involving our legal counsel possibility. Mr. DeWeese, we've had some issues over the last couple of weeks. One of them, and I think you saw the picture of the trash pile.
Yes.
Okay. That is, that was called in to us. We had actually, Commissioner Maupin had actually seen it the night before doing the light check, and she called me, and I went and overtook pictures, and then it was reported to code enforcement. But in the meantime, she got a call from the neighboring house. Come find out, this house is not lived in by the owner, even though the tax bill goes to the address. So we don't know what's going on with that house. Apparently, there's a lot of in-out traffic. So it's not only that, we have numerous houses that get vacated, and they put the trash out, and they don't follow the rules. We've also got other issues, and the whole idea is if we feel like, and I'm talking about the appropriate commission, if we feel like that it needs to have your intervention, is that going to be an issue? Do you have, I know you do a lot with the HOAs,
mm-hmm.
Okay, and we're pretty much the same, okay? We like to use code enforcement, but sometimes code enforcement doesn't react very quick.
It's not a problem. I can send a letter. What do you have in mind?
Just basically a letter or something, an action letter. And the good thing was, in this case, it was less than a week and the trash pile was gone. We don't know what happened or how, okay? But it was gone before the next trash day, so I don't know, like I said, we don't know what transacted during the time period that we first knew about it and reported it.
That was going to be a question I had, is what kind of a timeline are we talking about? I mean, we're not going to ask Mr. DeWeese to send a letter the first time we notice it.
Right, no. That was what I was wanting to inquire about. This is why I brought this up, is we don't want to come across as bullies, okay? But here again is we do have houses that we do not know that are being rented or lived in by other than the taxpayer themselves. And that becomes an issue because at that point, in this case, the house is still empty.
Yeah, but by statute, it's a rental property. If anybody but the owner's living in it.
Technically, yeah. And the issue is we have an ordinance for rental property registration, which whenever we get a chance, we remind the people. A lot of times we can find the information, like we did with this other issue that came up Sunday with vehicles driving on lawn or adjacent property, and the rental property is registered with Metro, so we were able to pull up that information, and I gave it to Commissioner Resendez, and she sent an email to that person because their email address and their phone number was on it. So we're not looking to be bullies. We're looking to, when we don't have a resource where it's not registered with the county and it's not registered with us, bringing in the legal team and having them address it with them directly. So is there any objections, or is there anything else you can put into that?
Threatened that codes would come out. Threatened that the, you know, the city would contact code enforcement to,
right,
to make sure that it's enforced.
Right. So, again, I'm bringing this up because we didn't want to take, and we may have copied Rob on the emails, but it was only to make him aware of the things. But we didn't want to involve him until we got approval from the city commission to have his firm actually get involved with these incidents that are occasional. They're not that often. They're just occasional. Any other comments?
I don't have any. I mean, I think that's a good way to handle it.
Okay. So, do we have a motion and an understanding? We'll put it together. Well, I'll make a motion that we go ahead and contact Rob when necessary, or Mr. DeWeese, when it's necessary for us to have intervention by our legal firm. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay. We'll do it discretionally. It doesn't happen very much, but you saw the pile. All right. Old business. I know we have one commissioner with old business. You would love to get on top of this right now. Commissioner Brazil.
Oh. I'm looking around saying, who is that? What I want to talk about is, where the LARP grant request I made stands. It's still being looked at, and the legislature is still meeting. The last that I heard, which was yesterday, I sent an email to Bobby Lewis with the Department of Transportation, and she said that the resolutions and the status of the, or, you know, yes or no, would be released in early April. So we should know something. I should have a report for you all at the April meeting. So I'm hoping that we get our $92,000 grant.
Okay. Thank you very much for anything else that's old business. Okay, the Welcome Commission's ambassadors still haven't heard anything. Emergency communication equipment check.
We're going to use channel 13 tonight. I think on my report I sent Bev, that's a correction, because I think I said 12, but it'll be 13.
Okay.
I'll check it.
All right. Channel 13. Okay. Anything else, old business? If not, we're going to move to new business. Here is the proposal for the fiscal year, and disregard what the numbers are at the top. It's actually fiscal year 2027. I forgot to change the settings on the spreadsheet. So we'll have that fixed by the next one. Okay. On the front, with all the small print, that is the general fund, and that is for fiscal year 2027. I'm going to mark this so I find it on the settings. On the back is the budget for the road, or the restricted fund, which I'll fix that one too. The revenues, basically what I did for increase in the tax, the property tax was, were allowed up to 4%, and that was what I based it off of. I took the, added 4% to the $199,500 to come up with the number I have there. Other than that, where we're at is in the center. We've got our current budget on the left column, the current, the what we budgeted for 2026. The center column is where we're at to date as of the end of January. I do this every year. So next month it'll have the end of February. And then the proposed 2027 annual budget worksheet with the carryover. So
how many delinquencies do we have?
Actual number or dollars?
Well, I mean, I see the dollars, but
it's like 25 maybe.
Okay. Those particular, those delinquencies that are on here are the past years, they're not the current years. Okay. It keeps current year delinquencies in the current year amounts. So.
But this isn't what's outstanding.
What?
This isn't what's outstanding.
I know that. I'm just. But I saw that the word delinquent just jogged my memory and I thought I'd ask.
Yeah, we've been lucky. We've been catching up on the delinquents.
We have an attorney
that's
doing a good job with that.
Yeah, they jump when they, and the first thing they do is try to get around it, calling the city. Well, you'll have to talk to the attorney. They've been turned over. So that's what we're going to work on. I have, I will send you the spreadsheet in a Excel file tomorrow. So that you have it. Is there any other questions you want to talk about when we move along? Okay. Next thing on here is our, Dennis and I have been working with flock safety. I sent out the information on the projected locations and do we just want to, again, this is what we're going to propose to do. The final locations are in the proximity of where those pictures or those snapshots were. They will have the exact location once we sign the contract. What we'd like for you all to do is, if you have any, is over the next 30 days or 31 days or 28 days. Yeah, 28 days. Next meeting is March 17th. The plan is to have a phone conversation, conference call with the representative. If we can get through it and there's no objections, then we can take a vote at that time and basically either approve or decline to go with the process.
Well, I have a question.
Uh-huh.
Is there a monthly maintenance fee that we pay for these?
No, it's a $3,000 per unit per year.
And that'll come out of the budget for?
It's already projected in the budget. Okay. I had a little bit more projected originally on it because we don't, you know, there is some things that we may not know about until we see the contract. So this is the reason why we're again, I wanted to introduce the concept to you and the visuals to you so that when we talked about this tonight, we wouldn't have to go into too much. The flock cameras are already in Coldstream and Thincastle. We would pretty much fill in the gap. And so again, take the next till the next meeting, which is March 17th, and if you put your question together that you might want to ask them, and then once that's over and done with, talking with him, and we can, you know, go from there. The sooner that we complete this evaluation point, the sooner we can start the contract. The payment doesn't get billed until the first one goes in, but there's only four or five poles going in, so they'll probably get them all in one day anyhow.
I have a question. What is Flock?
Flock is the cameras. There's automatic license plate readers.
Thank you.
Okay. And they code by ALRS, automatic license reading system. Automatic license reading system, that's what it stands for. We are not going to have, as the commission, nobody on the commission is going to be controlling or looking at these. This is all going to be assigned to LMPD because they're the ones that are going to be able to call out to the patrols when they get an alert on them. The alerts are whatever they have programmed into them. If they're stolen cars, which is a good thing for these, is a lot of the trespassing that's going on these cars that are not broken into. They're just checking the door locks. They're finding that those people are probably driving around in stolen cars. So that is one of the good reasons to have this. It's a 24/7, 365 day visual on the locations, and so that's pretty much it in a nutshell. Any other questions before we move along? I think you all know what we're talking about. You can go online too, and it's just do a query on Flock, and you can get to the Flock Safety website. They've got videos on there.
Your license plate is pictured every day if you're driving around.
Yeah.
Those cameras are everywhere.
You can't go anywhere in the world without getting your picture. You can't go to the bank without getting your picture taken.
You can't go anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, you can't stand in the grocery store line without getting your picture taken. All right. Next thing is pipeline training, March 10th, 2026, 5:30 p.m. over here at the Sawyer Hayes Community Center. Everybody that went last year, we know how much fun it was and how informative is. I can't wait to see what they have this year for the emergency since we had the big UPS plane crash.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody signed up that wanted to go? Okay.
Now
you better get going then, girl.
Well, I had to make sure I was off.
Just call in sick. They do it to you all the time. Okay. The next thing is a Municipal Road Aid Cooperative Program. Gets this letter every year, and every year, because we are a commission form of government, I have to bring it up. And the reason why we don't take it is because of the fact this is you. They take the money, and then it's an emergency request. Once all the funds are used up, if you have something later in the year, guess what? You don't get to be using your funds. So that's the reason why we haven't taken it in the past. And I just want to confirm that we won't be taking this opportunity on the Municipal Road Aid Cooperative Program. That's this other sheet. Is there anybody who wants to object and go for this or talk about it? If not, we'll just move along. Okay.
This is done.
That one's done. Okay.
It doesn't mess up that nice check.
The problem we've got, though, is gas prices are coming down. The tax is based off the price of the gas. So our amount has been decreasing, and you'll notice when you look at the budget, I decreased the amount that we're projecting to receive for next year quite a bit, because this is about where I think we're coming in around $21,000 on this year. Plus, we also are dealing with electric cars, so we're not getting any funds from the electricity that they're juicing their batteries up with, which I have, Dennis and I had a meeting with the KLC rep a few months ago and brought this up, that if they're going to promote electric cars, then they're getting a surtax, a charge on this electric charging stations, that we ought to be able to get part of that tax for our road funds. Of course, it probably went on deaf ears. Anyhow, city audit for fiscal year 2026. need to know, we've been doing this every year, and the reason why we've been doing fiscal year audits is because if we skip a year, the year which is the 2026, we don't have to do an audit on in the even number of years. We have to do a financial statement. Well, the financial statement still has to be done by somebody that's like an auditor that knows what, and talking to the auditor, he can't, this financial statement is much more difficult than just a normal financial statement. And as such, if we do a financial statement on the even number of years and then turn around and do the audit on the odd number of years, we still get pat for a second. Yet they increase the fee because they've got to do audits for the year we skipped. It has to be included in the audit. In other words, for 2026.
So why are we skipping a year?
That's the reason why we continue to do annually, because we get a better rate based off of that. I can when I go and talk with her, if we agree to do the city audit for 2026, I'm going to negotiate that she get us the price for the 2027 too.
Well, I hope so.
Okay. So that,
do we need to send him with you?
No. No, I get on the phone and talk to her.
He's got it.
She sends the letter of engagement for both years. Okay?
Okay.
And we've talked about this in the past. No matter what size city you are, they have to do the same checks mm-hmm. for everybody. Okay? So this is what makes it difficult for us small cities. We're getting treated just like Louisville. They have to still do everything to the same level, which I think is kind of stupid. But so anyhow, I'm going to make a motion that we go ahead and ask Stephanie to plan on having do a fiscal year 2026 city audit. And also for us to do that, I have to do something with DLG to basically say we're not going to do the fiscal, the financial statement. We're going to do a taxes. So it's an opt-out. I have to opt out of doing the financial aid or the financial statement. And once they approve it, what's that? Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Once they approve it, then I can get that information to Stephanie Hahn of Bramall and Ackley, PSC. Is there anybody who objects to moving forward with this idea? If not, they'll hear a motion to go ahead and plan on for a fiscal year 2026 audit.
You just made that motion.
Did I make it? Okay.
Well, then I'll second it.
Okay. When Commissioner Bedell seconded it. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right. Okay. Code enforcement training April 30th is in Lexington. Anybody that wants to take it, Dennis and I are planning on taking it. It's $100 per person. It's an all-day thing that runs from 9 o'clock in the morning till 4 in the afternoon. It's
we're codes.
Code enforcement.
What do you learn?
Code enforcement.
Yeah, code enforcement helps. Dennis and I work with the code enforcement people, and it helps us understand what they can and cannot do. Okay, in other words,
where they can go, where they can't go.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. A couple of years ago, they made it so code enforcement can only go where the pizza guy goes, deliver pizzas. So if they have something in the backyard and they got a fence, and they the pizza guy delivers to the front. He can't walk around the side and look over the fence.
He can't even look over the fence?
Uh-uh. Mm-hmm. It has to be visible from a public...
Did he accidentally see over the fence?
Corner houses are probably the most accepted. Corner houses. Now, we have the benefit because we have public access to our green space that goes behind a lot of these houses. And that, in that case, they're on public access space.
Okay.
So if there's a way of getting behind from a public access, yes. That's the reason why we like to go, is so we can ask these crazy questions. Okay? But I wanted to bring that up because it came through the other day. That's all that I have for new business. Is there anybody that has anything else that they would like to bring up as new business? If not, then we'll move on to the commissioner reports. Who wants to be first? All right, Commissioner Mulkin, go ahead.
Okay. February 2026 Utility Commissioner's Report. 125, email from resident asking if we would have trash pickup on Monday, 126. I checked Echo-Tech's website, and they posted that due to inclement weather, there would not be trash pickup that next Monday. I returned an email to the resident and gave her the information. I emailed Mayor Stone and asked if he would post Echo-Tech's message on the city's website. He replied back stating that the information had been posted. 127 found email in junk folder. Resident asking if streets would be treated prior to snow. The email was from 124. I emailed the resident back and apologized for the delay. Explained that the email was in the junk folder. I then forwarded the email to Commissioner Deville. 22, I drove the city for streetlight check. Lights out at 4304 R-Line Court, 12212 Donnell Court, 11909 Padgett Court. I observed a large pile of trash, furniture, and mattresses at 4808 Middlesex Drive. I emailed Mayor Stoneman and Commissioner Metcalf to report the trash and junk at 4808 Middlesex Drive. 23, reported streetlight to LG&E, where order was placed. A voicemail from a resident reporting trash, junk, and mattresses at 4808 Middlesex Drive. I called the resident back and told her I had seen the trash the night before and it had been reported. 210, email from Mayor Stone stating trash and junk cleaned up at 4808 Middlesex Drive. 212, drove city for streetlight check. Lights out at 12212 Donnell Court, 11905 Tazewell Drive behind the dumpster, 11921 Tazewell Drive behind the dumpster, and 4320 Pichelli Place. 213, reported streetlights out to LG&E and work order was placed. 217, read February emails, attended city meeting, will participate in radio check with Commissioner Metcalf.
Thank you, Commissioner Mulkin. Commissioner Bedell, go ahead.
January 22nd, 2026, I emailed Senator Tetchner and Representative Bojanowski asking them for their support of my 2025 LARP application, since they were up in Frankfurt doing their business. To date, I have not received a reply from either lady. On January 23rd, I spoke with Ryan Carrere about the forecast, and we got a plan together for pre-treatment and plowing the streets. He pre-treated the streets in advance of the forecasted snow and ice, and then I notified on the 24th, I notified the commission, and the work was completed. And I asked Mayor Stoneham to put the information on the City of Worthington Hills website. January 25th, Ryan Carrere and I stayed in touch between 7:55 in the morning and 5 o'clock at night with updates on the plowing. I received email from Bev Lush letting me know that I needed to let Carrere know that he needed to push the snow into the area next to 4519 Dickerson instead of 4521. And I contacted him to pass along the information. I also received emails from Kathy Carwile on Boynton and Stanley Hazelwood on the way about their driveways being blocked by the snow. Those are cul-de-sacs. So that was a problem. January 28th, a registered for the pipeline safety program to be held in March. February the 2nd, I notified the commission that a career would be treating the streets after midnight and plow as needed in the morning, the following morning. February the 11th, I emailed Christy Ross at the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet to see if she had an update on the LARP application. And I got an automatic reply that she was out of the office until further notice. And then, as I mentioned before earlier, that's when I emailed Bobby Lewis. And she advised that I should watch for the release in early April. That's all I have.
Thank you, Commissioner Seville. Commissioner Resendez.
Property Commission report from January 21 to February 17, 1:30. Well, January 30. It was reported that the floodlight on our entry gate sign is burned out. I emailed Mayor Stoneham and it will be addressed after April 1st. On 2-3, I received a notification regarding code violation for the property on Middlesex Drive. On 2-16, I registered for the pipeline program. On 2-14, we received a complaint about the tenants on Lunenburg Drive parking on the side yard, reported to the landlord via email. That's it.
Thank you, Commissioner Resendez.
Commissioner Metcalf.
Safety Commission Report 2/17/26. Drove the city at various times. Mayor Stone and I went to the post office during the month. Conducted radio checks after last city meeting using Channel 12. We used Channel 13 tonight. Mayor Stone and I attended Zoom calls with Block Safety on 2/11/26 and 2/13/26. Mayor Stone and I went to Dan Small's office on 2/13/26 to check sound and answer 2 calls from a resident inquiring if we've received his tax payment. That's it.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. Okay, sir. What do you think? Any questions?
Yeah, I got a lot of questions, actually. Too many to actually remember.
I'll do your best.
Yeah, like I said, I just kind of want to come in and see what the meeting was all about. A lot of things that I had came in about was just, you all had mentioned the plowing and whatnot, the snow. I had just kind of rolled around different neighborhoods, primarily Coldstream and Fincastle being those are, you know, our neighboring neighborhoods. It just, you kind of see the clear disconnect. Whatever the plowers did, they did good in Coldstream and the other neighborhoods, but then ours was just kind of left untouched for like that first week of the big snow. I just kind of wanted to see what was going on with that, but obviously you all were having issues, but not sure, as far as with the plowing, like where the direction was not.
Did you go into the cul-de-sacs on Coldstream and Fincastle?
Not necessarily the cul-de-sacs. I kind of glimpsed like those two on the entry when you come off of
right. 2.
I glimpsed over there. The cul-de-sacs weren't the best, but still, even the main road, like you could, you know.
The plan this year was to use what they call those a skid mover.
Skid movers, yeah, skid steers.
and get the snow that's on the cul-de-sac and put it somewhere else. Because some of the cul-de-sacs have an island in the middle of them.
Right.
You know, and it's hard to get a plow down through those and not plow snow in front of somebody.
Yeah, and that's the same kind of thing I ran into usually, you know, just neighbors all around just get snow kind of piled in front. But not necessarily with the cul-de-sac itself, but just like just the main roads, like coming Lunenburg, Halifax, whatnot. Like I said, I'm on Rustburg, so even just coming up, coming from Rustburg, turn on to Halifax, I almost slid. But then as soon as you get over into Coldstream, you know, it's clear pavement. I'm not sure, you know, what contractors have with plowing service, but my question is if that's just, you know, can we not just contract with what Coldstream has or the next neighborhood over to where they can just kind of knock out all three neighborhoods at once?
That's just it. The what they do in Coldstream, because I've been out at night, they use blow torches on the asphalt.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's why their roads are no longer.
Well, yeah, I'm going to be
What about Oakhurst?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Oakhurst, they don't do anything.
Really?
Oh, no.
No.
I remember last year.
Oakhurst is not in Coldstream.
Well, I know the main road, like main Halifax, coming from Halifax to Murphy, that's pretty clear. Now, when you go to different routes, more residential, I guess.
Usually in Oakhurst, as long as I've lived there, I've only known to salt the streets like two times of plow. It looks like they attempted to plow through this time, but I think the residents complained until they did a little something, but they never do anything.
Really?
I don't know why they charge.
Yeah, Oakhurst is an HOA. They're part of Jefferson County.
I don't understand it either.
The thing, there's a disconnect between Louisville, KY, okay. Louisville Metro doesn't do anything out past Waterson Expressway.
They kind of want to see it almost Owen County.
Yeah, well, here again is, we all pay county taxes, okay? We get no services hardly for them. That's why we on these code enforcement issues and the building permit issues, we stay on top of that because it's the one tax benefit that we get out of Jefferson County.
It's
code enforcement.
Okay.
Because if we start seeing problems with properties, okay, we don't have the enforcement capabilities because we don't have a code enforcement officer, which has to be an officer of the law. Okay, we don't have a code enforcement board.
So is that why some of the residents are kind of upkept and some are kind of down in the dumps?
Yeah.
Okay.
So anytime you see something, if you want, you can email Commissioner Resendez because she's the property maintenance commissioner, and she'll review it, look at it, and if it needs to be reported, we report it to Jefferson County Code Enforcement because then they will send out an officer to do that. If you see somebody, if I'm not wrong, we stopped at your all's house on the permitting.
Yeah.
This is one of the things that we do, Dennis and I, just quite a bit, is because these houses are 50 years old. All it takes is one to go up, and it's a domino effect, you know.
Yeah, and that's what you said when you
right.
Reminded.
So we basically look out for the permitting as a safety issue. That's what we want to make sure that our residents are protected because we don't want to have somebody's maintenance person do something that turn around and either kill somebody, damage property, or anything else. We're all the time finding HVAC contractors out in Worthington Hills without having a permit. Mm-hmm. And
if they don't have a permit, they probably don't have insurance.
Yeah,
the thing is that, you know, an HVAC can be dangerous, even on an electric heating and air conditioning system. You know, we have gas. where you're at, you don't have gas. We have gas in about three-quarters of the city. And all it takes is somebody to do something wrong, and then you got explosions. And it ain't taking out that's just the one house that explodes. It's going to take out whatever's on the side of it, and then there's no telling how many of those it can take out. So there's a lot of reasons why we all are involved, okay? We do it for the protection and the benefit of the residents. We're not out there doing it just to harass people. We're doing it because we know this pipeline trading that we take, and we've taken it every year. We go through an exercise where they have an emergency, and we see all the things that are involved when it comes to taking care of an emergency. Just think about the UPS plane. I mean, that went on for weeks, you know. So we don't want that to happen in Warren Hills because, again, this property, once you lose a property for whatever reason, if it's not, if the disaster is causes the property not to be able to be lived in, we lose that taxing authority on the improvements. The only thing that we get the tax money for then is the land values. So that's another reason why we want to make sure that the safety is there. So it's public safety and it's protection of the revenue sources.
So I fully understand the permit thing, and I do actually appreciate you coming out and, you know, explaining that even to the electrician and to myself. But I was just more concerned about just plowing and,
right,
and how that.
We've had this problem with the plowing is an issue every year in Warrington Hills.
Yeah.
Okay.
What is
plowing? Yeah, we can't. You know, I try not to like take the vendors personal, like take it on as like it's part of like the council, like it's part of me, because you're gonna have different work ethics in every walk of life. So, you know, because I know there's big ruts coming out of the streets and out of, you know, low lying cars can't navigate some of those ruts.
But see, if I don't, okay, but. The problem, the thing that we need to keep in mind is, as the road commissioner, I'm in contact with the person that's doing the work. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's what I do. I stay in contact with the person. But if the homeowners, if all they do is sit there and complain about it, but they don't ever tell me, I can't fix something I don't know about.
Right.
You know, and if somebody, the whole idea is to keep the streets safe for the emergency vehicles and for the homeowners, you know. But I can't fix something. I can't call him up and say, send them back out there and have them do it again if I don't know about it.
Okay. Well, that's warranted, and I understand that. That's why
I'm coming in.
Exactly.
We appreciate your input.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right.
But then
I had two other questions as well. So you mentioned that you mentioned that Oakhurst is an HOA. So is this not an HOA?
Mm-mm.
So this is a city. So
we're a city.
Could you explain the difference to me?
Okay, a city is chartered. You have to go through. Worthington Hills used to be an HOA when it was originally built. Mm-hmm. Okay, and in 1980 they chartered and got and voted to become a city. A city has different regulations. We have statutes that we're required to follow, okay? Just like this thing with the budget, the thing with the property taxes. There's things that the city is required to do. An HOA is more of a community-based, they run their own little community, okay? They have very minimal amount of statutes that they're required to follow. Or, you know, so that's pretty much it. I mean, you've got a board that's not controlled by anybody on HOA. Mm-hmm. The board is the board. If it's a click, it's a click. Okay.
So the HOA, even though they pay HOA fees, it's more ran by a committee of
homeowners,
residents, and hobbyists.
However,
okay.
I'm on the board of an HOA where I live. It's over there at Trace.
Okay.
That's an HOA. But we make certain that our homeowners, because they are in the city of Worthington Hills, follow all the ordinances, city and state,
mm-hmm.
that apply to you know, I mean, you can't come into Trey on January or July the 4th and have to see us shooting off fireworks everywhere. You know, I mean, if there's an ordinance against something, I'm not saying fireworks, but I'm saying if there's an ordinance in the city of Worthington Hills, then the people that live in the HOA have to comply.
Right.
But then if they live in the city of Worthington Hills, where it's not HOA, which I feel like is what's going on here, is hard to enforce it. Which is why you're saying let's get the code enforcers in, but then, you know, they aren't as responsive. So it's kind of a double.
Yeah, for us to be able to enforce ordinances, we're required to have a code enforcement officer,
mm-hmm.
which is a oath of office officer, okay? And then you have to have a code enforcement board, which had that way if somebody gets a violation, they have the opportunity to appeal to the board. The board has the final say, okay? If the board says the violation stands, then the violator has the right to go to a circuit court.
Mm-hmm.
Circuit court, okay? Circuit court probably usually throws them out, but it's not it. But in an HOA, if the board sends them a fine, they're required to pay it. Is that not right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can apply to court? The HOA?
He knows more about HOA.
You could if
you file a lawsuit, it's civil, though.
Yeah, okay. So then with circuit court, it's not civil?
Circuit court is civil.
Okay. So it's kind of, is it one and the same almost?
It's what one and the same? I'm sorry.
As far as having an HOA and then suing the HOA or being a part of the city and then...
I mean, the city is a state chartered entity, right? Like Louisville,
okay.
Lexington, whatever.
Okay.
The HOA is a private group of individuals who are homeowners and agree to be bound by the deed, the restrictions that are in their deed.
Okay.
So it's private versus public, really.
All right. So private versus public. So this is public. So then I have a question for all you commissioners. So were you all voted in or?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We run in the election.
Okay.
We have to file our intent to run, and we have to get our name on the ballot,
mm-hmm.
and then we're voted in.
So like same voting when we vote for midterm and whatnot, you guys on the ballot like that? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. I understand. So you not everybody here is a resident. At Worthington?
Yes.
No, everybody's required to be a resident on the commission.
Okay. All right. And then my most concerning would be, and I understand that we have a contract, so we got to look out the contract, but our waste management, kind of that whole situation, week by week, you know, every other week. So I've actually been a resident of Worthington Hills, like, my whole life. I grew up in Worthington Hills. I now own a home in Worthington Hills.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen kind of the transition or whatnot. But I just feel as if the current contract, well, whoever we're with, I can't even remember the name.
Hecate.
Yeah. They're not the best. I just feel as if, you know, already the neighborhood itself isn't the best upkept. It isn't the most appealing. But I feel like every Monday, you know, after they pick up the trash, it's just you see the trash bins everywhere. They aren't really respective of, you know, the property. I've called numerous times to even get, like, a second bin or whatnot. They don't really – they're not the biggest fans of taking personal bins or whatnot. It just seems more of a hassle than anything. But that's just my two cents on that. I just kind of wanted to, like, get an understanding that that's a commonality across the board, or am I unique to that situation?
No, we do have complaints, and I contact them every time I have complaints. And myself, my trash can's been out in the street.
Mm-hmm.
And each time our account manager assures me that he goes back and talks to the route manager and the driver. So, and yes, with, you know, as far as like paper trash flying around or, you know, and I've watched where they, like I recycle a lot. Mm-hmm. And I've watched on windy days when they went to dump it.
And it's just everywhere on
the road. Yeah, it will, you know, spray if the wind gets hold of it, or it'll fly off. You know, I don't know, because I've been in my home 29 years. Mm-hmm. So I too have seen, waste management, Rumpke, and now EcoTech. So, you know, all I can do is report back to them these complaints and, hope for the best.
Yeah. Shouldn't EcoTech be picking up what flows away?
No, because they cannot leave their truck unattended, which makes sense to me. I mean, they cannot,
That makes
like
sense, but isn't there more than one person on the truck?
Do you have questions too?
What I'm going to ask is, I just assume if I was recycling, probably what I would do, I'd probably tie my stuff together and put it in that can.
I've seen them come twice. So they come pick up the regular trash every Monday, but then every other Monday they pick up the recycling.
Mm-hmm.
Usually with the recycling, they actually have a man on the back of the truck.
Yeah.
So he could go pick it up himself, but he just chooses not to. But I mean, obviously trying to go house to house, they're kind of just driving and he's grabbing them, throwing them in. But still, even so, I mean, it's just.
Yeah. I've only seen the guy on the truck one time, and that was.
Some week, most weeks, they had the automatic pickup on the hydraulics.
Yeah. Well, that's what the. Okay.
Yeah. They do both. The trash has the hydraulics, and the recycling has hydraulics. This last week, I noticed that they did have the guy behind the truck. But this is the first time I saw it. But that could be because their recycling truck was out of service. Because most of the time, they just had the hydraulic lift.
Okay.
And I do tell you this much, their trucks with the hydraulics are put together different than Rumpke's.
Yeah,
and I can tell you, Rumpke had a bad habit of leaving garbage on the street. They were worse.
Did.
I mean, Dennis and I, or Commissioner Metcalf and I, we followed them quite a few times and watched them. And the EcoTech's truck's opening for the hydraulics is got an opening from the top. There's the top of the truck.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When they bring their canister up, it doesn't go above the truck. It goes into that opening and empties. Okay. Which helps with the recycling and the trash not falling out. Okay. The other thing is I think if I remember right, Rumpke had the big bucket on the front. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
And when they dumped it in there,
it just went flying everywhere.
No, that wasn't the problem. Is when they took it back up over the top of the truck, and they dumped it in, and it would, if it didn't go in, it could get stuck on top or blow out because of the wind. So we're familiar with both, but again, there's reasons for everything. Okay. Budget is everything. When you're looking at the cost of your waste going up 20%, you know, and as a chartered city, we have to follow statute. We can't raise our property tax to match whatever we're getting for increases. Okay, because we're limited without a public hearing, and it has to be noticed that everything else, 4% increase in revenue per year. Okay, so if our revenue last year was $100,000, we would be able to increase our property tax to bring in 104. And then whatever the next year is on that 4% on it. That's a problem on the fact that that's a restriction. And right now we're at 200,000. So the most we're going to get on any revenue increase is $8,000. And when you've got your waste management going up $12,000, you're $4,000 behind. The only thing that's saving us is our insurance premium tax. If we didn't have the right to keep the insurance premium tax, which a lot of people would like to get rid of, okay, we couldn't support the city. It's just that important to us. It's 50% of our revenue stream. You know, so...
And,
you know,
yeah, and
we pay for street lights. We pay street lights. We pay the irrigation systems. We pay for the maintenance of the big green space. You're familiar with the big green space that's in the center of the city?
On Northumberland.
Well, it's in the middle between Northumberland, Lundberg, and.
I think on the back of it, there's something big open area.
Oh, kind of on the back of Rushburg Place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's uphill?
Yeah. Yeah, we got to cut that grass. That's okay. That's a $30,000 a year project.
Okay.
And, you know, when trees go down that are on public property, we've got to have them removed. I mean, there's a lot of expenses people don't realize. And they all start adding up. You know.
Speed bumps. Everybody complains about the speed bumps. I mean, they do.
Yes, some of them have a crack in it. I almost got a flat on one. I almost got to swerve around.
We need to completely resurface Lindenburg. Completely.
Yeah.
Taking it down to nothing and starting over. And that's why I asked the state for
a grant.
And if we.
The city can't absorb that kind of thing. We still have it.
Yeah. I mean, when we did. When we did Bay Run, I was road commissioner in 15, and we did Bay Run in 15. We did all those side streets on there. That project ran $120,000, you know. And at that time, when I came in as road commissioner, we had to basically, because the monies were mingled together, we had to do some manipulating so that we could get that paid for because of, again, statutes weren't being followed, okay? Since we took over in 19, we now follow the statutes. We have the right amount of liability insurance, workers' comp, unemployment, whatever. Whatever's required to have, we now have it. We had bonded. The bonds weren't even right when we took over. So, again, there's a lot of cost that people don't recognize.
Good stewards of the money.
Yeah, and I see, you know, the breakdown of the financial here. I mean, obviously, some of them just, you know, just group expenses. You don't really see everything detailed out.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, the money's there. I mean, you can see where it's going to. So, I trust you all with that. It's just... As a resident, just bringing up.
That's the one thing that when we came in 19, we put that website up there, and we purposely put it up to be as open on our financials and our minutes and everything else because there was so much that was not being told prior to us when we took over in 19.
And then even with that, so I understand you all update the website regularly. But I'm sure I'm probably the first resident to pop up here in a while. Do you all feel like that's effective, or would you kind of seek other means? Like, when I first found out about the meeting, the main thing I was thinking is like, okay, could this not be a Zoom meeting for any residents to kind of just conveniently log on to and look at? If that's not an option, you know, I even searched. There was a Facebook page for Wellington Hills. Could we get that reactivated?
No.
Okay.
No, the Facebook page won't get reactivated because, first off, when the last mayor died, he took a password with it. And Facebook wouldn't give it to us. As such, Also, anything that goes up on Facebook has to remain. It's public record, okay? So we have, our public record is, if people want to communicate with us, they do it through email, because then we're able to, through our web service, if we have open records requests, we can quickly have that researched and delivered, because we've got time frames that we have to deliver on open records requests.
I ask people not to send me text messages, because if there was ever an open record, I don't want to have to give up my phone.
Yeah.
You know, so we ask people, and we made a commitment when we first got started in 2019 with Mayor Stone. We made a commitment that we, any commissioners, would read their emails and answer the email. I mean, we will get back, we'll call, you can leave us a voice message. We hear it through our computers, but you will get an answer. And if there's a problem, like I said, we can't fix it if we don't know about it.
Okay. Have you all considered like a hotline? Like creating some kind of Wagons and Heels hotline to where, you know, they can text that and it'll go whether directly to you or anybody responsible for it. I just feel like there has to be some kind of way around that, because yes, emails can be efficient, but they aren't always. As you say, you email people.
No, they can call and also leave us voicemail.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can
just number on the website. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
When you leave a voicemail to these three, they get an email with the voicemail is.
Hear your message. Yeah.
Dennis and I, if we're not on the phone, we'll answer them. Because I do not go to voicemail. My home phone number, my cell phone number, does not have access to voicemail.
So you answer?
If it's not busy, I answer. Okay? I'm a 24/7 guy. Okay? And that's important because of the fact that your constituent, if you've got an issue, I'd rather talk to you than have you sitting there and stewing over something that is not important.
Right.
It's important to you, but you're feeling like it's not important to me because I'm not getting back to you.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
So, again, I know that for a fact because I set up the phone system. So I know who gets the written emails. So that they do know to get back to people.
So, but then what about the Zoom meeting for, like, say, this meeting? That's a no as well?
Zoom meetings, nope, because here's what happens. If we was to put these on Zoom, okay, and we lost connection, we have to stop the meeting. Right. We cannot continue. We have to actually stop it until we reconnect. And if we can't reconnect, guess what?
We
can't continue the meeting. This is state law. This is another thing.
So that's another statute?
It's called open meetings, open records. And they have, once these Zooms come out, they basically made it very clear you can have them, but if you lose connection, then you've got to stop the meeting till you reconnect. If you can't reconnect, you have to close the meeting. And that, we're required as a city to have a meeting once a month by law.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We can't get around it. Okay? There's only been one time that I know we did get around it, and that's because of COBA. There's been one meeting that I have missed since August of 2014. And that was that meeting, and it was because nobody could get together unless we could protect one another. Okay? So we didn't have a meeting, I think it was March of 2020 or 21. 21. Okay? So, again, we have laws we have to follow. And this is one of the things that is important to me, is because I can't. Ignorance of the law is not a defense. okay? And fortunately for me and fortunate for the residents, I've had multiple hours of training from Kentucky League of City. So I can't plead ignorance even if I wanted to. Okay, so anything that we're doing because it's required.
And don't think just because tonight you heard us vote and everybody, yes, it doesn't happen like that. It does not happen.
Yeah, I figured it was just kind of again as well.
Yeah, it was. Because, no, I mean, the mayor can tell you that. It doesn't always go smooth.
Yeah,
and I think the formality shows the difference of the city and then an HOA. Because an HOA, you could pick up the phone and call a board member or whatever.
Right.
You know, and
we're not even allowed to discuss among ourselves.
No.
If the three of us went out for lunch, we can't talk about anything that's before
city
the
city business. No.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
We can't do it. We're not allowed to do it.
We're allowed to have training classes, though. Okay.
But it has to be kind of scheduled and how to work.
Basically, in a training session, our meetings can't have any action taken or in training classes. I mean, training classes, we can basically teach one another things, like when we go to the classes over at KLC. Okay. We get there. We get trained on statutes and stuff like that. But if there's no business talking, there's no deciding on, maybe we ought to put the playground in,
Can't say we're going to get together and talk about the playground, but we're not going to.
Right. And you can't do it by one person talking to one person. It's like Linda was talking to Susan, and then Susan talks to Christina, okay? Doesn't work that way either. That's still a quorum. Okay. So for us to make a decision, we have to have a quorum. A quorum in commission form of government is three people. Okay. And it also applies to open meetings. If we have three people, any way, shape, or form, either together or talking, like the telephone, it's not legal.
Right.
Okay.
I'm saying that. All right. Well, this was a good first meeting for me to experience. Like I said, sorry, I kind of came in abruptly.
Oh, that's all
right.
I wish everybody showed as much interest.
Right. Well, we're glad to answer your questions because we don't have a lot of people showing interest. The only interest they have is when they got a complaint. Okay.
Yeah.
And then they don't pick up the phone. They get on next door and type. Okay?
Yeah, I understand that. Like we said, just a paper trail of it. You know, like you said, you would rather talk, but, you know, with this being a city of Orange Hills, legalities of stuff, you want it documented.
Right. Okay?
Good.
All right. Thank you. All right. If there's nothing else, do I hear a motion to adjourn the meeting?
I'll make a motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Mulpin. Do I hear a second?
I second.
Thank you, Commissioner Resendez. It is 8:28.